KBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. FEMA is dispatching Los Angeles County and Orange County fire teams with their canines to help look for human remains in the New Mexico fire zones. A wounded accused mass shooter is in custody. Police say he killed three people, wounded 10 others in a grocery store in the small town of Fordyce, Arkansas. Twin sisters Amia and Ashia Dougherty were outside.
I would never think that would happen in Fordyce. Like, that's real scary. And I pray for the man, too, you know, because something had triggered him to do that.
Former Trump advisor Steve Bannon has filed an emergency appeal to the Supreme Court to try to stay out of prison while he appeals his contempt of Congress conviction. The Supreme Court upholding a ban on guns for people under domestic violence restraining orders. Reaction outside the court.
I was pleasantly surprised. Given the way the court's been going, I assume they were going to say, sure, you know, insane people can have guns. But luckily, you know, some reason prevailed.
This is ABC News. Another kind of setback for the distribution of aid in Gaza.
Lawlessness, a major obstacle in the distribution of desperately needed food aid in southern Gaza. Hamas militants and local gangs attacking and looting aid trucks on a daily basis, according to UN officials and locals. The police no longer in charge, some killed by the IDF for their alleged Hamas ties. Looting so bad it prevented a surge in aid this week, despite the Israeli army holding its fire along a 7-mile aid route for 11 hours each day. Jordana Miller, ABC News, Jerusalem.
Treasury Department proposing rules to stop Americans from investing in Chinese technology with military uses. A new study finds that a popular obesity drug also may help reduce the severity of sleep apnea, the disorder where people struggle to breathe at night. Eli Lilly paid for the research and is asking the FDA to expand use. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June is Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ+ communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
Bob Neal and Edgar Hellum fell in love in the 1930s. But they also fell in love with Mineral Point, Wisconsin, where they worked together to rescue and restore buildings set to be demolished. The gay couple gave Cornish language names to those properties. The best known may be Pendarvis, a piece of history from the mid-1800s when Mineral Point was a lead mining town. Their success during the Great Depression is considered the start of what's turned the area into an art and tourism hub. It's a story of love and preservation, and you can still experience it today thanks to Bob and Edgar. I'm Terry Barr.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Pere Marquette Park is out as the protest area for the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee next month. Instead, there are two demonstration areas, one near Pfizer Forum and another near the Baird Center. Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle.
I'd like to reassure everyone that the Secret Service and our public safety partners respect every American's First Amendment right to express themselves. The Milwaukee PD and other law enforcement partners are well equipped to manage protests and ensure gatherings remain safe for all individuals involved.
Republicans didn't want the protest zone so close to Pfizer Forum. The Department of Natural Resources is offering $100,000 in grants to rural Wisconsin counties that help recycle unwanted electronics. The funds would go towards building permanent electronics collection sites or hosting collection events. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers bow to the Padres. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 7-6 loss to the Padres in San Diego. The crew giving up 4 runs in the first inning. Christian Yelich losing a pop fly in the lights at Petco Park, allowing San Diego to score. This one had a lot of twists and turns. Manager Pat Murphy.
No question. It was back and forth. I mean, a lot happened in this game. They turned a big double play there at a big time and that ball down. Great play. We lost the ball in the lights that you can't do anything about. Yeah. I mean, we walked the leadoff hitter to open the game, 4 pitches. We gave up 2 0-2 home runs, very unusual, back-to-back. I've never seen that in 40-plus years of baseball.
Brewers pitcher Robert Gasser will be out for at least a year. The 25-year-old lefty has agreed to have Tommy John surgery for his sore left elbow. NFL, the Packers have added another place kicker to the roster. They claimed James Turner off waivers from the Lions. Turner kicked for the Michigan Wolverines last season on their way to a national championship. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, showers and some thunderstorms. We'll see a low around 64. Some heavy rainfall is possible. Heavy rain is possible on Saturday with showers and thunderstorms and a high near 77. For Saturday night, mostly cloudy, chance of thunderstorms and a low of 63.
It's 64 at our studios.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Coming up on Monday, Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot gives us a big weather update.
And Jeff Van Beaver from X18 Ministries joins us. Don't miss it.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega, and this portion of the show is supported by Native Concrete and Masonry, working together with clients to design, perform, create, and accomplish. Check out their work at nativeconcretemasonry.com or give Chuck a call at 612-597-0421.
Hey, it's Friday, and we have our friend, State Senator Mary Kunish on, and we always worry what we're going to talk about, but we have plenty to talk about at times. And you're an awesome guest and very knowledgeable. And that's what we try to do here at Native Roots Radio is have great guests that can really educate our listening audience. So just a big pinigigi there, State Senator.
I'm with Hucky Uppy, everybody. It's good to be here on a rainy Friday, another rainy day. But at least we have this to look forward to, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Hey, I want to talk about a little AI, but at first, we kind of were wondering, and I know Haley and I had talked about this, the Ten Commandments in Louisiana schools. Does that open up the door for other religions too to be putting commandments in, like maybe a an Ojibwe prayer or something up there, or where does that work?
Lakota,
right? Yeah. Or Honchunk?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean it definitely would probably open it up. The one thing that they might revert back to is the language that's used in the Constitution of the United States, where it refers to God. God under God, we all of these things. And certainly the founding fathers were, these Christians that mm-hmm. incorporated it into our national constitution. But, the ACLU, the human rights, I'm sure if that happened here in Minnesota, or if that was suggested to happen here in Minnesota, that we could pass it. I mean, I don't have anything against the Ten Commandments.
Right.
Honestly, the golden rule is just like treat everybody the way you want to be treated. That's really the bottom. If they put that up there, I would not have a problem with something like that.
Right.
It was interesting in the Star Tribune this morning, there was one of those political cartoons, and it had the Ten Commandments. It's in a school, and the Ten Commandments on the wall, and then to the right of it, are like active shooter drill rules or instructions.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, these schools are so much, and these communities and these states are so much more concerned about the ability to have guns and any kind of guns and automatic weapons and don't touch my Second guns than upholding, you know, some of these other things. So, yeah, that would be pretty ugly. And I think it really is another indicator of how our, you know, the Supreme Courts or the judges that are allowing these things to happen are really out of touch with what they should be upholding.
Well, and it was, I guess the governor signed the bill. And what was funny about that is that the first thing that came to my mind, if I had to have that in my classroom, would be very small. And in part of the bill said it has to be legible or large legible fonts, which I went, oh, shoot, they got me. But I think it's ridiculous. A state that's as soon as last year was 47th in education is worried about this. Mm-hmm. I think it moved up to 40th, but still it blows my mind where people's priorities are. And I know you dealt with people's priorities, especially when you were in the minority as a state senator a few years ago.
Yeah, really and truly. And when you have a political party that is in the majority and has the ability to make important decisions, decisions that are going to affect just not a small group of people, but the entire state or the entire nation, I think your moral responsibility is just, you know, is just multiplied by the millions to ensure that we are ensuring that all people in the United States or our state or our district have the kind of representation, and those people are going to make the decisions that are for the good of all and not just some. And when we start differentiating like that, that's where the disconnect, the discomfort, the lack of feeling self-worth comes in. And that's, it destroys communities right away. And so I think you always have to be really careful when you look at who's representing you and are they representing everybody in the best way.
Well, and it's freedom of religion, not freedom to be religious or one religion. It's freedom of all religions. And that's why the original people came here to not only take our land, but that came here because of religious persecution. You know, so again, you know, I don't want to get too deep in this, but I think if these so-called religious people read the New Testament and maybe quoted Jesus a few times, they would be way off in what they're thinking is now.
Yeah. Again, I listened to an interesting conversation on NPR the other day, and they were talking about how so many people, especially young people, have left the church. They aren't practicing any faith at all, and have that true disconnect. And the woman that was speaking, I thought she said it really well. I wish I could get it perfectly, but she said, you know, you can read the Old Testament, you can read the New Testament. And there's, you know, a lot of controversy around who wrote it and why it was written the way that it was to, you know, to give men the leg up. But she said, you know, if you just followed what Jesus did and what Jesus said, that's all you really kind of need. You know, follow his example. And I don't remember exactly how she said it or the examples that she gave, but what she said was made a lot of sense. And you have to remember that the Quran, the Muslim Quran book, their faith book, Quran, and then the Hebrew books are all three based off the same things. Mm-hmm. They've just taken a little bit different approach to it. And so when we think about the differences, the differences aren't that big.
Right.
And the goals are all very similar. Basically, you know, feed the hungry, take care of the poor, house the homeless, you know, give help to the ones that don't have it. Those are the rules that we all should be following.
Right. And they have their smorgasbord Bible. And I mean, I don't see any Republicans washing the feet of homeless people. I just see ridicule and things like that. But yeah, I mean, we're in an upside down world and we have smorgasbord religious people trying to run things. But hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Attention transit customers. On Saturday, June 15th, Metro Transit will make changes to transit service within your community. As we do each quarter, we review our resources and ridership trends. These service changes continue our ongoing work to best serve customers throughout our system with our given resources. A summary of the upcoming service changes and a preview of the updated schedules are available now at MetroTransit.org. Again, that's at MetroTransit.org.
Rudy Luther Toyota buys cars. How do I know? I did it myself with my old original Toyota Sienna. You can get cash for your used vehicle. Here's how it works. Go to RudyLutherToyota.com, click on the Luther Buys Cars tab, enter some basic information, and you'll get a good offer from Rudy Luther Toyota real fast. Then set up an appointment to bring in your vehicle, which usually takes about 20 minutes or less, and you'll get paid. It's really simple. They gave us a great offer for our used vehicle. Go to RudyLutherToyota.com for more information. Rudy Luther Toyota at 169 and 394 in Golden Valley.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we are here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we love just kind of having a fireside chat here, or maybe a chat around the sacred fire here. Maybe I'll change the name of the show to that. But we have a plethora of things and a lot of things that we talk about. And it's great too, State Senator, that I feel like the conduit of Native Roots Radio is to educate and remind. And we definitely do that here on Friday. So big pini gigi.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Yeah. Hey, so here's something a little off subject, and I know it's kind of, I've been looking into it and I've seen artists at art crawls the last couple of years, can you figure out which one of these is that I painted and which one is done by AI? So we have AI definitely creeping in our psyche and our workforce and our things. A lot of AI coming around, and what's your thoughts, and is there anything festering up in the Senate building about this?
Well, we started to talk about it, and I have had people reach out to me saying we need to do something about this, or we need to start using it in a good way for schools or that sort of thing. And what we're talking about is artificial intelligence, where you can basically ask, your computer to write me a speech on equal rights amendment. And it just spews out a whole bunch of stuff. And I know there's been a lot of concern around the use of AI and artificial intelligence in our schools. And most of the time, it's really sort of based on or focused on plagiarism or cheating, you know, that a kid is supposed to write a report and they go into one of these AI sites and it generates something out and the student hasn't done any of the work that we want them to. You know, we want them to read websites, read books, read journals, interview people. You know, we want them to really do the boots on the ground research. I mean, in schools, we teach them, you know, the process of a report or the scientific method to addressing an issue. But I think that what's really important, I mean, not only do we have to, and then there are other websites where you can actually submit somebody's work and then they analyze it and tell you if it was AI generated. So, I mean, you can get around that stuff. But I think when it comes to education, the real question is how can we harness the AI as a tool for learning for our students? How can we use AI to improve teaching for teachers? Because there are some really great database AI sites where that will generate a lesson plan. You put in the basics, what you need out of it, and it'll generate a lesson plan. And you and I both know the hundreds of hours that we put into lesson planning and creating our own lesson plans around specific issues. And so I actually was at a conference in St. Cloud this past week. The Commissioner of Education, Commissioner Jett, and I were there along with one of our Republican counterparts, and it was hosted by the superintendent up in St. Cloud, Lori Putnam, and they brought in this really fascinating guy. He's like the expert, the guru around artificial intelligence. His name is Charles Fadel. He's French, lives in the United States. And he wrote a book around education, AI in education. I haven't read it yet, but he brought up a lot of really good points and really the need for us to get kind of in front of it as we start moving into different areas in technology around schools. And so, it was a fascinating conversation. It was a day long one. And I was really, you know, excited to be there as the chair of education finance.
Yeah.
I do have some say in policy. And then I have to finance all those things.
Right.
But, you know, it was just, I thought it was really fascinating.
You know, just to change, it made me think of another question about education. And, well, I just have to say this statement, too. I used to love encyclopedias, and I lifted a few things on reports from there. I just got to be honest. But I did love encyclopedias in our day. So I forgot what I was going to ask about education. So let's move on here. More AI. I just
It'll come back to you. Well, you know, and that's important. One of the things, so I myself have used AI as kind of an experiment or to see how it works, you know, ask it to just generate some basic talking points on certain subjects. And what I was impressed with what they came up with, but I was also really thankful that at the end, it cited all the resources that they were pulling that information from. And I think that's absolutely, you know, like the thing that we have to be really mindful of. And as a library media specialist, I taught research skills to students, you know, all my career. You know, you have to cite the information, create a bibliography. All you have to do is list in the right form, and now you can just copy and paste them from most sites. So that not only are you proving that you have not copied this report or this information word for word, you've read it, you've thought about it, you've synthesized it, and now you've kind of regurgitated it back into your own words and your own thoughts. But I always told kids, the other thing is like, if you write a really good report and somebody else wants to find out more about it, they can go to your bibliography and see where you got your information. And so it kind of perpetuates kind of self-learning or self-motivated information seeking. And so in that sense, I think it's really important.
Yeah, definitely. And education and those things that make the playing field fair to everybody is something that I'm glad that you're a big part of in our state, and especially with your background. And and it's crazy because AI is coming fast. And the things that it can do, and there are some good applications that are going to be able to figure out maybe, you know, how to cure cancer, you know, those things like this. And they were talking, State Senator, that, you know, this is going to be the fastest growing, it's going to make our economy go the fastest it's had since the 1800s, when we were dirtying up the air with all those factories.
Yeah, you know, you're right. It is the move of the future, and oftentimes people, and especially education, are reluctant to those kind of changes. When they don't understand it and they don't know better, or they don't understand how to like harness the good of it and ensure that we're keeping our students and our teachers safe. I mean, there's algorithms, you know, in AI and all kinds of data that can now be perhaps associated with an individual or with a student or something like that. So I think a really important part of all of this is making sure that we're being careful and that we aren't inadvertently sharing data from individual students, especially students, but others when we are allowing people to use AI. I mean, it's kind of a world changer, just the way when the internet came on. Remember when the internet and people didn't know how to use it to the best of their ability, and they're all worried and freaked out about it. But the other thing is the movement towards less screen for kids.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah, okay, there we go.
That's what I was going to ask you about. Was it California that has that, that one district that's trying to tell the kids to leave their phones at home?
Oh, yeah, phones are a big thing. There's a couple of things. A couple of schools, and even here in Minnesota, one of the districts that I represent has a no phone policy during the day, during the school day. You have to put your phone away.
Should say not bring it, because
and some schools have these little lock boxes. Some of them have these locked baggies. Some schools you have to turn your phone in, which I think would be a flipping nightmare, any of those scenarios. But what you really have to do is get buy-in from the parents, so that if you take your phone away from the kid, the parents aren't going to come after you and say, "Don't touch my kid's phone. I want my kid to have a phone." I mean, there has to be some real discussion.
Yeah, there does, because there's a lot of upsides, but I know there'll be pushback from some parents not being able to get a hold of their kids. But geez, they had to call the office when I was a kid, and hopefully I wasn't in the office.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. FEMA is dispatching Los Angeles County and Orange County fire teams with their canines to help look for human remains in the New Mexico fire zones. A wounded accused mass shooter is in custody. Police say he killed three people, wounded 10 others in a grocery store in the small town of Fordyce, Arkansas. Twin sisters Amia and Ashia Doherty were outside.
I would never think that would happen in Fordyce. Like, that's real scary. And I pray for the man, too, you know, because something had to trigger him to do that.
Former Trump advisor Steve Bannon has filed an emergency appeal to the Supreme Court to try to stay out of prison while he appeals his contempt of Congress conviction. The Supreme Court upholding a ban on guns for people under domestic violence restraining orders. Reaction outside the court.
I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, given the way the court's been going, I assume they were going to say, sure, you know, insane people can have guns. But luckily, you know, some reason prevailed.
This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. People having a mental health crisis would be better served by social workers than by police. That's according to social justice groups backing a new package of bills in Congress.
There are many, many times when a person is going through a severe mental health crisis that police are called and that person becomes criminalized and it's not given the full wraparound services and the appropriate response to what truly is a mental health issue.
The Madison Police Department is out ahead of the curve. It has 6 full-time mental health officers and 2 in-house crisis workers. The Milwaukee Alliance Against Racial Political Repression is demanding all footage from a shooting on I-43 on Thursday. After the chase, Milwaukee police opened fire, injuring multiple passengers in the fleeing car and killing an unborn child. The alliance says that the families of the injured have a right to know why the chase ended in a shooting. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Taylor Swift's album Tortured Poets Department is working its way towards some big-time music industry records. Variety says the album has been number one on the charts since its debut 8 weeks ago. If Poets manages to stay there another 6 weeks, which critics say is very possible, Swift will break the all-time record for an album at the top of the charts since the first day of its release of 14 weeks set by Stevie Wonder for his album Songs in the Key of Life. If she makes it to 16 weeks, she will break the record for an album by a female artist at number one for consecutive weeks, currently held by Carole King for her album Tapestry. Swift already holds the record for a solo artist having combined albums in the number one slot, which is 77 weeks. The record for most combined weeks for an album in the top spot by solo or group artists is held by the Beatles at 132. She's got 55 weeks to go. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, showers and some thunderstorms. We'll see a low around 64. Some heavy rainfall is possible. Heavy rain is possible on Saturday with showers and thunderstorms and a high near 77. For Saturday night, mostly cloudy, chance of thunderstorms and a low of 63.
It's 64 at our studios.
Fabulous Farm Bay PM Yankee here with the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WGBW. It's about your food and where it comes from. Tune in and learn. 5 a.m., 1590 a.m., 97.9 FM, the talk of Green Bay.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, more and more UW-Madison students are interested in learning about public policy and sinkholes. Why? We'll find out. Join us.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we're having our little fireside chat, completing the circle here on Friday, and wishing everyone a good, safe weekend. You know, we talk a lot about a lot of things, and I know dear to your heart, and you also have a good relationship with a lot of the artists around, well, all around Turtle Island, really. But, you know, a couple of specifically, I know you had a nice art piece in your office and at the Capitol. And so let's talk a little bit about, you know, some local artists and maybe what's going on where down at the Capitol.
Yeah, it's I have a beautiful piece of art in my office by actually a Chicano artist named Jimmy Longoria. And he is, he's a pretty neat guy, very, very cool. Some of his work, he told me, hangs in Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor's office. Keith Ellison has some. There's pieces all over in the Senate and the House offices. He brings in these really, they're large pieces of work. They're very colorful. Oftentimes they have a sort of an abstract face, mostly of women, but there's just so much vibrancy. There's so much color. There's so much power in them. And this past week, he paid me a visit to my office and brought me in another piece that I really admired when I saw him at the State Fair. And this one is not painting. It's not acrylics. It's actually different pieces of paper, more like a collage. And if I had the picture, I mean, I have the picture on my phone, but would have loved to be able to show it to you. But he's a very generous artist in that he loans his work out. He also brought in a panel of four huge pieces that we were able to install on the walls in the hallway across from my office. And it's four different women. The first one has her finger up like you can interpret a couple different ways. I looked at it like, I'm telling you what's going on. Okay. I'm like, she's the boss. I think Jimmy said it was like she was bringing the word of justice. And then another woman with her hand up, not like, you know, talk to the hand, but just like receiving that information. And then the other women in the other pieces, sort of like they were absorbing the information. And it was just, it's just fascinating to look at art. And I think back in the day, Jimmy was a recipient of perhaps of some of the art grants that Minnesota has. We're really, really fortunate here in Minnesota to have the Arts Council, the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund that the legislature puts money in there for artists to use, and it's specifically for artists to focus on cultural and heritage. And it's funded through a very small, like 3/8 of 1% tax. That's how we fund all of this. 3/8 wow. of 1%. And over the years, it's generated like $192 million that the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund is able to distribute. And this week, I went over to the Humanities Center. I don't know if you've ever been over there in St. Paul. It's an old, beautiful building that the humanities is run out of. And I sat on a panel to discuss this because I'm on that committee. And there were people from Delaware, Washington State, Alabama, and Florida, Ohio, New York, Pennsylvania. These are all directors of their estate humanity center who are here to learn from how Minnesota funds their humanities, because some of them have like next to no budget at all. Right. And they're totally dependent on philanthropic means or other ways to get the humanities done in their state.
Yeah, well, it's a good point not to take it for granted here, because we mm-hmm. talk about Minnesota being a great place to live and the high education average of people that live here and that enjoy art and do art. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Haley and I were talking about this a couple days ago, where I think everybody has some kind of artistic thing in them, whether it's I can make cool stick men or whatever, but it's a discipline mm-hmm. too. I mean, you know, you have to set time to do your art, whether it's music to perfect your instrument or art where it's to perfect your voice and your feeling and what you want to give out on what you're creating. And so to have that kind of support, State Senator, is paramount, and it's really good to hear that.
Well, especially from when it's funded by your state government. And, you know, we want people to use their talents, their skills, their inspiration to the best of their abilities. And not everybody's going to agree with if it's art or not. I mean, I've seen some things and I've looked at it like, I'm just not getting it. But
or Wendy and I will see something, and I won't say where in New York, but I'll go, can't you do that? yeah, I know.
Yeah, so it's fascinating to kind of look into the mind of an artist, and especially when it's somebody that you can talk to and speak to about their art and hear it from their interpretation, from their lips, and not reading it somewhere or interpreting it on yourself either. So yeah, it was really cool. I really thoroughly enjoy whenever Jimmy comes to the Capitol or where I see him, and his generosity is really, really great.
And it's on loan too, which I think mm-hmm. is very cool. And yep. That reminds me too, just to remind our listeners, I know you're not in session now, but how much it's a balancing act for you, lawmakers, how much you enjoy seeing people come visit you and they'll be able to see this art and talk to you personally about what's going on. And I know you're mm-hmm. in meetings and sessions too, so it can't be like me where I always kind of jump in and expect you to meet with me, but yeah, you know, without an appointment.
Well, there's a lot of things that I have learned from people who make appointments and just stop in and talk mm-hmm. to me or invite me to. I just was up in Brainerd yesterday all day long. There was a woman that she's the mayor of, it'll come to me, Breezy Point. A real delightful, you know, youngish woman who has a lot of ideas, good ideas about how to meet the needs of the community. And she took me all around Brainerd to wow. these groups of folks that are doing the really good work, especially around economic development, not just for businesses, but for agriculture, mm-hmm. Education, all of these. It was just a really lovely day. And then they had an event last night, a fundraiser for a woman's shelter up there. Oh. And this was somebody that showed up on my calendar, and I was like, who is this person? What do they want? It's the mayor of Breezy Point. I'm like, okay, let's give her 15 minutes. And it turned into just, you know, a really great day yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot about Greater Minnesota. And when you're in a relaxed environment where you can just talk about things and talk about what's going on and mm-hmm. cause and effect, and there's no, you know, it's in a really casual, safe place. It's mm-hmm. really great. I think those are the kind of times I really enjoy being a legislator.
And we need more of that too, with the bipartisan kind of conversations with mm-hmm. with lawmakers all over the state. That's great to hear conversations going back to normal, yeah. Right?
It's interesting because, you know, there was a dinner and then they asked me to speak and I did. And then there was this really funny comedian and then there was this really great band. And so I stuck around the whole time and had all these different conversations. And then, you know, most people who listen know that I'm a Democrat. My friend Angel said, you know, probably everybody in this room tonight was a Republican. And I was like, yeah. What? You know, when you don't have your guards up or when people aren't trying to, mm-hmm. you know, be obnoxious, I just had the best conversations last night. And so, you know, I suggest we do that more often as politicians is don't even know who's in the room.
Right.
And just start talking about all the stuff. And it was amazing how many people I had connections with up there.
Yeah. And without those false laws or walls, I should say, mm-hmm. we have so much in common with each other. If we just look at it that way. And that's we're all human, you know, mm-hmm. we all are the same in the inside, and to get back to that, you know, as much as we can, after this next election would be super because, you know, all hands on deck for this next election. I you know, I have relatives in New York that are not politically the same way as me. And we don't talk about politics. We talk about grandkids and kids and things like that and keep it simple and get back to the day where we don't talk about sex and religion. Or maybe just religion. I don't know. But hey, State Senator, thank you so much. Always our pleasure here. Great conversation as always. Have a great week and we'll see you next week.
Well, Pilatanka, it's good. Oh, and next, oh, I'll have to talk to you. I have to go. I go out, fly out to Utah. And then on Wednesday, I fly to D.C. So I'll be in touch.
Right on. Thanks. Sounds good. That was State Senator Mary Kunish, and this is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Attention transit customers. On Saturday, June 15th, Metro Transit will make changes to transit service within your community. As we do each quarter, we review our resources and ridership trends. These service changes continue our ongoing work to best serve customers throughout our system with our given resources. A summary of the upcoming service changes and a preview of the updated schedules are available now at metrotransit.org. Again, that's at metrotransit.org.
As we emerge from the shadows of the pandemic, let us celebrate our resilience and embrace the path to a brighter future. While the COVID-19 emergency declaration may be over, our commitment to safety remains stronger than ever. We invite you to stand tall and protect what matters most. Our health and the well-being of our loved ones and elders. The power to keep our community safe lies within each one of us. It's important to remember the basics when you're with someone who might be at risk of COVID complications. Wear your mask, wash your hands often, and take an at-home COVID test if you have any symptoms. We are a strong and interconnected community, and together we'll emerge from this challenge stronger than ever. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep the spirit of our Native American culture thriving. Find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us. That's health.state.mn.us.
This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh! got to do a short howl. Hey, it's Friday, and my wonderful and beautiful wife has her segment. Take it away, Wendy.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley. Hey, everyone. My name is Hannah Jihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dagger Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hana Jinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. Hey, I've been talking about the 4th of July safety tips for pets. So here I found a couple of more. Exercise your dog early in the day. They'll be easier to handle and calmer overall. Make sure your pet does not have access to toxic items, like if you're going to barbecue during the day, charcoal, glow sticks, fireworks, sparklers, and food items like avocados and fruit pits. Okay, I've never saw anyone post anything like that before, but yeah, it makes sense, right? During the fireworks, keep your dog in a comfortable room. Turn on the radio or TV for familiar noises. So let's do that. And be sure your pet is licensed and microchipped with your most current information. As I've said before, the most dogs, statistically speaking, the most dogs go missing on the 4th of July than any other time of the year. Here's one. Rough Start Rescue. I've talked about this rescue organization before. Azure Davis is her name, I believe. She's the owner and founder and president, CEO. I don't know what her title is, but anyway. She actually went to high school with our daughter's high school. So she has this rescue organization. I follow her on Facebook. She does great work. So the organization is called Rough Start Rescue. And she was posting that they were looking for professional photographers to take pictures of their pets to post online. Now, I know there's a few other organizations that I follow, and I could tell, like, that the photos are so beautiful of the animals. But here's a statistic. Listen to this, and I didn't know this. A dog with great quality photos is adopted within 14 days on average, compared to 43 days with just a poor or average photo. And you know what? That makes sense, because a professional photographer is really going to capture, I think, like the essence, right, of that animal. I've been collecting these little memes I like to share with them. Here's one. It's an old dog just sitting in the forest by itself, just gazing into the sky. And it says, sit with an animal quietly and they will show you their hearts. Sit with them kindly and they will help you locate yours. Oh, I love that. I'm not going to share anything sad today. Just a couple of really fun things. Here's a article I found from Care 11. Let me just bring this up here. I have to pop it up. It's from a few days ago. A foul mouth parrot named Pepper is looking for a home. Yes. So Pepper apparently learned a lot of curse words, and now is on social media and is ready to go to a new home. It's from Pepper can be found in Niagara Falls, New York. This article is from June 17th. And Pepper apparently uses colorful language that might not be for everyone. The parrot will be up for adoption next week, so it'll be up for adoption now, along with seven other birds. Some are even parakeets. So if you want a foul mouth parrot, there you go. Pepper is available in Niagara, New York, right? Okay, let's see here. What do I have? Okay, here's a little meme. I'm going to describe it and tell you about it. So this is a little dog, and its owner is putting the leash on the dog's neck. And the dog's talking here. So whenever we go outside, my master needs a leash to make sure she doesn't get lost. don't worry, anxious one, I'll take care of you. So that's the dog speaking to the owner. I think that's adorable. Let's see. Okay, here's one somebody posted, and I feel this way, definitely. My dog's superpower is making me feel guilty if I leave the house. I do feel guilty a lot when I leave the house because my little Wanda has separation anxiety, so I have to make sure that she's comfortable. I had to leave for the house the other day for a few hours, so I just like closed the shades. I left the air conditioning on because it was warm. I left the fan on. I gave her some medication, a little bit of trazodone just to calm her. The nightshirt that I slept in, I left for her so that she could have it on her pillow. I asked Alexa, I can't say it too loud because she'll hear me, but I asked her to play James Taylor's Greatest Hits on repeat, so she did that. Let's see, I'm going to find something. You know what, we have a friend, her name is Alice, and Alice sent me this post, and I'm telling you, it really hit my heart. I posted something, I don't even remember what it was, and this was like her response. So thank you, Alice, for doing this. It means a lot to me. So this is what it says. What is Kahu? Now, I had to look up the pronunciation because I didn't know. It's spelled K-A-H-U, and it's a Hawaiian word. So what is Kahu? In Hawaiian culture, you do not call yourself your pet's owner. You are referred to their Kehu. The word Kehu has a deep meaning and is defined as the sacred role of a guardian, protector, steward, or honored attendant. Essentially, someone entrusted with the safekeeping of something precious, something cherished. What a Kehu protects is not their property. What they protect is part of their soul. We become better when we truly love an animal. We embrace the connection of all life when we embody what is meant to be a kahu. I just seriously love that. I love that. So I'm happy that she believes that I'm a kahu. And I think Wanda would think I'm a kahu too. I don't ever call her like I'm her owner. I say like I'm her person. You know, I'll say that. I'm Wanda's person. Or she's my, I don't know what I call her. I guess I call her my pet. But anyway, so a few days ago, might have even been last week, this is a funny article I found. Paul McCartney, Sir Paul McCartney from the Beatles. I think everybody knows who he was. He just turned 82 years old. And he currently has two rescue dogs. But his most famous pet was Martha, the English sheepdog. Martha was his very first pet, who he got in the summer of 1966 when he was 24 years old. In 1997, he finally admitted that the song, Martha, My Dear, on the 1968 White Album was about his fur baby and not secretly about Jane Asher, his fiance at the time. He originally wanted to name the pup Knickers, but Asher wasn't thrilled about having to call that name out all the time, Asher. Knickers. So anyway, it's funny, Martha, my dear. So I played it, and the words, if you listen to it, it sounds now like it's definitely about a dog. But I never knew that before. So happy 82nd birthday, Sir Paul McCartney, and I'm glad that he rescues dogs. Yeah, Robert and I saw him in concert. He was really...
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Capital Times entertainment reporter Rob Thomas and Wisconsinology website creator, director, and producer Frank Anderson joins the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal.
Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.